This is the Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW, the show that brings you valuable information about real estate, the financial markets, and other economic business of the day. Your host, Edward Brown, is a nationally recognized expert on money and investing who has appeared on CNN and has published numerous articles in national business magazines and newspapers. Now, your host for the Best of Investing, Edward Brown.
Welcome. You're listening to The Best of Investing. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Mark Hunt of Pacific Private Money and Nam Phan of Pacific Private Money. Our phone number is 888-912-1190. Use that number to answer the trivia questions for a five-pack tanning certificate given away during this show. That certificate's not sponsored by the radio station, but by Tan Bella Tanning Salon with two locations in San Francisco and one in Marin. And the certificate is worth over $100, so you're going to want to answer the trivia questions. Today's trivia theme is general trivia.
Ooh,
I know Mark loves that.
I hate that category.
Although last week I got 3 out of 3.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I had to kind of boost your ego a little bit on that.
First time in 8 years that I got all three trivia questions correct. Yes, that was it. You know, we've had a lot of anniversaries and firsts this year.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Now, in the second segment, we're going to bring on our special guest, real estate litigator, attorney. Well, litigator, I guess. Presumes attorney, Brian Kraft, who's been on the show before, and we enjoyed having him, so we decided, come on back.
I'm here. I'm going to sit through the first segment.
Okay.
But we'll get to real estate litigation stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, chime in if we're talking about stuff that you say, hey,
I was no good at the trivia the last time.
Don't worry. This time you'll be better.
Okay.
I promise. Okay, Mark, something just happened really recently.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm tired. August was like our busiest month in the history of our company. So at Pacific Private Money, we make short-term real estate loans to people that can't get bank financing for any number of reasons or just need fast capital. Hey, I got to close by Friday. So we deal with a lot of stuff like that. And historically, I mentioned just a minute ago that we've had some anniversaries this past month. And one of them was August was our 10-year anniversary of Pacific Private Money, located in downtown Novato. And August of 2018 also was noteworthy in that it was the busiest month ever in the history of our company.
So why was that?
Well, it's funny. I just got off the phone with one of our capital sources, and I shared that with him. And he asked me the same question. Yeah. I said, I don't know. It's so random because August is actually the slowest month historically. You go back, look in the last 5 years, August is crickets. You know, people go on vacation. Investors aren't around. You know, we push everything off until September when they come back. But it was really, really busy. How many, Nam, how many units did we end up doing? It was almost 30,
north of
right?
20, yeah. Yeah. Somewhere in the high 20s.
Yeah. And again,
of loans that you...
right.
Yes.
Okay. And so we're all, you know, at Pacific Private Money, we're alternative finance providers, you know, AKA hard money. It used to be called 20 years ago, you know, private money, alternative financing, marketplace lending. It's got a lot of names nowadays. There's probably 300 or 400 companies like ours, you know, in California, and we're not anywhere near the largest, but I bet we're in the top 10%. And
I would say
that's
so.
A lot of units to,
it is.
You know,
yeah.
To produce. And and you know, we were blessed to be able to get them all out the door and perform as promised. But and then Labor Day came along
We said, you got to close by Labor Day because everyone's taken off. They're tired.
Right. Well, at least you didn't say you're in the top 300 in Novato.
Yeah, right. And then we've conference season is starting up. We just went to a conference in Vegas sponsored by the Gerasi Law Firm, which is one of the preeminent law firms that serve the private lending industry, both for borrowers and lenders and investors. And they had an investor conference, and we met a whole bunch of people up there that love to invest in California trust deeds, notes, love to invest in funds. And so we added a whole bunch of people to our database and we're reaching out to those folks.
Well, we did the money show too.
And then we did the money show. Yeah. If you guys didn't go, you missed a really good, there was just a lot of good topics there.
Yeah.
And not so, surprisingly.
Especially Gene Simmons.
Yeah. about his cannabis initiative. Yeah. There was a lot of cannabis guys, not as quite as many crypto guys as there were 6 months ago at this one show we went to, what was it, Opal, I think it was, at the beginning of the year. There were a whole bunch of, that was when crypto was still taking off, and there must have been five or six crypto companies back then, but at this conference, I think they were no-shows.
Yeah. A lot of the crypto guys back at the Opal looked like rock stars, because Bitcoin was at like 17,000 or something like that.
And now you're just reading the articles about the people that have lost their life savings.
Yeah.
Or, on paper anyway, they wonder if they'll ever see that money again.
And what, Bitcoin's what, at 6,000?
6,000, yeah. And I read somebody said, well, when it hits 5,000, buy! Yeah, it's still gambling. Yeah. Even at 5,000, I mean, who knows? It's interesting.
But what do you think of crypto?
I actually own a little bit of Bitcoin. I love the tech behind it.
Oh, yeah. Tech is awesome. Blockchain is going to change the world, I think, in many ways.
I firmly believe that it's not necessarily gambling, but it will come back around. The matters of when.
No, but the thing is, what's Bitcoin per se backed by? It's not like you're...
Math.
Yes.
But that's, I mean, you got to have something behind it. At least
math.
I mean, at least Apple computer, there's a computer that you can use in your business. What do you use Bitcoin or diamonds or gold? You can actually have, it's got some utility, but what are they selling?
The security?
It's not a security, no. It's math, and it's based upon cryptographic calculations run over a network of computers, and that confirm the online blockchain such that everyone knows where all the money's coming and going
But again, I see Edward's eyes glazing over at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, can you explain that on a napkin with a crayon? If not,
Matt, forget it. It's not real estate. It's not tangible. That's correct.
Well, and of course, the proponents of crypto will say, well, what's the basis behind the dollar?
Right. Well, that's
funny money.
Well, the government promises to...
That's right. At least there's a government behind it. There's not a government behind crypto. So yeah.
That's correct.
Rather. Yeah, okay.
Well, all those thieves out there who like to use it for running guns and all kinds of illegal activities, they love it.
Perfect for a lot of illicit activities, yes, unfortunately.
All right, we're going to go to our first commercial break here. Speaking of this, who was the first U.S. billionaire?
Ooh.
All right. You'll have heard the name before.
Well, and that doesn't include someone who may have been a multimillionaire that adjusted for inflation would have been a billionaire, but
a
true billionaire.
A true billionaire.
Not adjusted for inflation.
Correct. Okay, that's our trivia
question.
So
Andrew Carnegie probably doesn't count.
Really? Okay. Again, let me change the answer. No, I'm just kidding. Call 888-912-1190. Answer that question. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
For more information on today's topic, call Edward Brown directly at 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. The Best of Investing will continue in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
It's no secret that the wealthiest people in the world use real estate to become rich. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned 7.5% and more, secured primarily by California real estate. Let me say that again, 7.5% and more. This is not a REIT. It's a mortgage-backed investment where you earn like the banks. Look around and tell me, who's bold enough to promote annual yields of 7.5% and more? Call Pacific Private Money and join the thousands of California residents who have watched their savings grow. A 7.5% return secured with real estate is worth the call. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com. That's pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
Have you ever wondered how the banks make all their money and wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, their clients do just that. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured primarily by California real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent above-market returns on their savings and retirement accounts. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost your income. Join the thousands of California residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
Now, back to the best of investing with your host, Edward Brown, on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. Edward Brown here, along with Mark Haunt and Nam Phan, and our special guest, Brian Kraft. Who was the first U.S. billionaire is our first trivia question. Come on. Come on. Bring it home. Bring it home.
Warren Buffett?
Warren Buffett. No. John D. Rockefeller.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go.
Right? He was somewhere. Okay. That makes sense. Right. No. So, Nam, we were at the Money Show. Got a lot of leads.
Right.
And you guys are going to be doing an event when?
We are doing an event on September 27th at the Fremont Marriott from 6:30 to 8:30.
Okay.
So if people want to RSVP, it's not too late, but hurry up because we have limited space.
We're running out of chairs.
A lot of interest. So
and shrimp.
That's right, shrimp cocktail. Hurry up. Come for the shrimp cocktail and stay for investing.
There you go.
415-883-2150. That's okay. The number. Go on to our website at www.pacificprivatemoney.com. And we talked about at the Money Show, learn how you can invest in a mortgage pool fund.
Earning?
7.5% to 8%.
Not bad.
Mm.
All right. So moving on, we're going to talk to Brian Kraft, who is a real estate litigator.
That's true.
And what do you litigate, per se?
I litigate a lot. anything and everything involving real estate.
But wait a minute. Are you a vexatious litigant?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I am not. I'm not on the list, thank God. Anything involving real estate. Colloquially, we call ourselves dirt lawyers. But anything, whether it be a lien priority of lenders, neighbor disputes, boundary line issues, easement issues, title claims. I do represent a couple of the title insurers.
Title insurance. I already have my first question, Brian.
Go for it.
Title insurance.
Yes.
A complete waste of time to the consumer or actually a useful tool?
I cannot shake my head at your question. a hugely useful tool for anyone interested in purchasing real estate. I highly recommend purchasing a title insurance policy when you purchase real estate. And so long as you go through an escrow company that's underwritten by a title insurer, you will get a policy of title insurance. It will protect you against unknown issues that are out there. People potentially claiming a rightful interest in your property, either a lender or another person, a squatter on the property, your neighbor claiming that they own part of your backyard, all those different things.
How common are boundary disputes? Because I know that, I just bought a piece of property and I had it surveyed, and it was interesting that the fence that runs up and down between the neighbors is off by about 2 feet. Now, I don't really care, but others, you know, in similar situations might care very much.
Absolutely. That's not unusual, actually. Most people, when they go take a look at a piece of property to purchase, they will assume, perhaps wrongly, that the fence sits on the actual boundary line between them and their neighbor. Yeah. And that's not always the case.
Why do you think that is? Do you think they never got it surveyed, or what? Or do surveys actually differ from surveyor to surveyor?
No, when somebody moved, the guy picked up the fence and moved it toward his side.
There's like four different aspects to those questions. I'm trying to take them one at a time. Can legitimate surveyors differ?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hmm.
Surveying is as much art as it is science.
Hmm.
And professional surveyors can differ in opinions as to exact locations, typically only by a couple of inches, which to most people would be de minimis.
Yeah.
However, I've litigated issues such as a 3 foot wide garden area in zero lot line San Francisco mega acreage up in Mendocino, Napa, Sonoma. So, and land means a lot to different people. Some folks want their property, and that's what they purchased, and they say, I want what I purchased, even though the fence is on my side of the property line. You're using part of my property. I want to move that fence to the property line to take full
advantage. It's a 100-foot fence, and it's 2 feet off. I mean, that's
correct.
That, you know, somebody who likes to, you know, count those square foot.
That's true. Yeah.
Square feet.
Especially when they want to sell them. They say, I own so much acreage. You know, I wish I would have hired you before with the title insurance, because I just found out I don't own the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, I figured I'd make a lot of money, you know, with all the tolls. And
no refunds. I wouldn't want to do that, though. Isn't the scoop right when they start painting, and by the time they finish painting, they got to start painting
all over again? I'm going to have to raise the toll then on my bridge.
The home I own in Ignacio right now, I had it surveyed because someone told me, you know, where the developer put the back fence along the back lot, you actually own more footage than that. And there's this big, beautiful oak tree. And I thought, wow, if I own that oak tree, that'd be great. And so I had the property surveyed, paid about $3,000 for it. As it turns out, the oak tree's on my lot. And Perfect. So I moved the fence back about 20 feet. Wow. And the guy up the hill got all upset saying, hey, you're building on my property. I said, hey, check the public records. I got a survey that's recorded on there.
It was mistaken. Yeah, absolutely.
So how much did that impede on his side?
Well, he's not using the property because it's downslope to him, and he's not using it at all. But again, if it were me and I were up there, I would probably have made the same fuss. Hey, you can't do that. That's on my land.
Sure, well, no, without knowing, he starts moving and he moves it halfway through your kitchen.
Well, you own his treehouse now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And unfortunately, some of that stuff spirals into dispute. And then it's not just that area.
That's where you come in.
Correct. Yeah. And I've got various legal theories that I can use on both either your end or your neighbor's end in order to try to negotiate a resolution.
Because you go to the highest bidder. No,
my goal is to resolve that so that if this is your forever home, you can at least throw your hand up to your neighbor and give us a little wave. You don't need to be friends with the person, but it'd be nice to at least get a wave.
How often have you had to dispute like one surveyor over another? Or just dispute a surveyor?
Typically, in a heavily litigated lawsuit, both sides will get a surveyor. Hmm. Sometimes they will agree, and sometimes they will disagree. And it really just depends. I have one particular client right now who has had her property surveyed so many times that we get what's called a pincushion effect, where up near one of the corners, each surveyor has taken a different position based upon local monuments as to the exact location of that corner. And now what you see is you see within a 3-foot radius a number of different surveyor markers trying to show or state where that corner is. I went and got another surveyor to come in and try to justify that which already exists in order to try to conclude with certainty where the corner is.
I mean, don't they use like satellites nowadays?
They do.
Okay, because I know in the old days, didn't they used to, you know, something, so many...
There's a pipe in the dirt over here by this rock.
Usually it's like trees and stuff that were there.
The issue, though, is that they tie to monuments based upon what's articulated in the legal record. And sometimes those monuments either don't exist anymore, or they've been washed away because of the changing tides or something along those lines. So as a result, they have to use their best knowledge, their best estimate as to where that monument was located, and then depending on where they assess that point, it then triggers and translates down the line.
I mean, what happens when, like with the title report where they talk about, you know, 30 degrees east Waverly, blah, blah, blah. I mean, how many people actually read that and really even know what it means?
Very few, and I'll tell you, even fewer real estate lawyers. It takes really kind of a title specialist, someone like myself or others in my line of work that can read through those and determine exactly what the surveyor is trying to show.
All right.
Wow.
Too much head knowledge for me. Okay.
Meets and bounds.
Okay. Yeah, please. Yes, I do have my real estate license. I do remember that. Okay. Second trivia question. This is on to more fun stuff. What is Hershey's most popular product? And if you say chocolate, I'm going to brain you. Okay, that's our trivia question. Call 888-912-1190. Be the first caller with the correct answer. You're going to win that tanning certificate, which is transferable. So it's a nice little gift you can give to somebody.
Yay.
That's our trivia question. What is Hershey's most popular product? And you guys will have heard of this, so
I probably
don't worry
eat
about it. You probably eat it. All right. Don't touch that dial. The Best of Investing. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to The Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown. For more information, visit bestofinvesting.com. That's bestofinvesting.com. More in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
You've probably heard about Pacific Private Money's Mortgage Pool Fund on this station, the Pacific Private Money Fund. Now, come meet the team at Pacific Private Money on Thursday, September 27th at the Fremont Marriott. Learn how you can earn yields of 7.5 to 8%, secured primarily by California Deeds of Trust at conservative values. If you are an accredited investor and would like to attend, please call 415-883-2150 to RSVP as space is limited. That's 415-883-2150.
Have you ever wondered how the banks make all their money and wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, their clients do just that. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured primarily by California real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent above-market returns on their savings and retirement accounts. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost your income. Join the thousands of California residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
You're listening to The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW. Once again, your host, Edward Brown.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. Edward Brown here along with Mark Hoff and Nam Phan and our special guest, Brian Kraft. Mm-hmm. Question, Mark. Yes. I'm giving this just to Mark. What is Hershey's most popular product?
Ooh, Kisses. Ooh, ooh.
What?
Kisses.
No.
Hershey's Kisses?
No.
I was going to go with that.
Nope. Come on.
I think you're wrong. I bet they sell more units of Kisses than any other
single thing. I didn't say units. I just said, what's their most popular product? Come on.
You said you better not say chocolate, but is it their candy bar?
Their candy bar.
No, he's talking about the basic milk chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're driving me crazy here. No, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh, geez.
Really? Mm. I love Reese's. I didn't know it was made by didn't Hershey's. I thought that was like Mars or something.
He goes, I thought it was manufactured by E.T.
No, that's Reese's Pieces. Oh,
that's right. That's Reese's Pieces. Okay. So I got a deal of the week. All right?
You do?
Usually I pass these on to you guys, but I got a deal of the week. So I get a call from a mortgage broker who was all set ready to do a loan for his client. And at the last minute, the lender, which is just a normal lender, conventional bank, at the last minute, a lot of times they'll pull things like credit reports and verification of income, that sort of thing. In this case, they wanted to verify his employment, which they did before. But when they did it this time, the guy had just lost his job, like literally within a week. And they said, well, wait a minute, the guy's not employed anymore. So he was, quote, in between jobs. Yeah. And they denied him the loan. And this guy has to close like now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So what we ended up doing here at Pacific Private Money was we found out the buyer, this poor gentleman, could at least get an extension for like 10 days because he told the seller what happened. He says, listen, I'm going to close on the deal. I'm just going to have to go private loan for now. I'm in the process of getting a new job at about the same pay, probably no more, no less, similar type company. It's just the reason he lost his job was a contract had fallen through. It had nothing to do with him. Hmm. It wasn't fired. It just got laid off.
Right.
But a conventional bank, though, they look at it and they said, no, you don't qualify. So today he doesn't qualify with them, but he qualified with Pacific Private Money. And then it's about a 70% loan to value, know the property pretty well. And then in about 6 months or so, when he gets his, seasoning on his new job, again, about the same pay as the old one, he'll get a conventional loan and pay it off.
Well, and what that points out is that, of all of the transactions, the real estate transactions that are in contract right now in California, and there are thousands of them, stuff happens. And the kind of stuff that happens that you don't hear a lot about are the bank learns that they've only been employed at this company for 6 months, and they may have a 1 or 2 year requirement. And what's happening is that more and more people, especially millennials, it's not like it was 20 or 30 years ago where people stayed at jobs for a long time. People move around. We get resumes all the time, and they're 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 6 months. I mean, they may have had 10 jobs before they got here in the last 5 years. I mean, it's just the nature of what's happening. So job hopping is common. Banks don't like that. What if you don't have seasoned funds? What if you move your money around? What if you're self-employed? The percentage of self-employed homeowners or borrowers or potential homeowners is highest in the Bay Area than probably anywhere else in the country. So you put all that stuff together, you have a marketplace where conventional and or bank financing is just not always the number one option. It's an option for maybe a refinance if they have 60 or 90 days to collect all the information that the bank needs, in which case, yes, they can get a bank loan. But when they're racing against the clock on a purchase and they only have 21 days to come up with those monies, oftentimes those little, you know, California, Bay Area common nuances can really hurt you. And Edward, you and I being self-employed, have experienced that personally. We know how the last refinance I did on my home took more than 90 days. If I was trying to buy a home, that never would have happened.
Right.
Yeah. I would have had to use private money.
Exactly. And we've talked about this before. I wrote this article that got published just a few months ago. You know, you think, why don't the banks make a loan like that? You know, I mean, it's pretty conservative. Well, the biggest reason is banks base their loans on, you know, on the reserves. Right. So if they have, let's say, $1 million in deposits, they can lend out either 16 or 30. I can't remember the number. I think it's a 16-to-1 ratio. So they can lend out $16 million.
Multiplier, yeah.
Right. Well, if there's any kind of odd duck out there, the auditors come in and they say, well, you know what? You've got to put $200,000 in reserves because this is a questionable loan. I mean, the guy is not employed at the moment that you did the loan. Well, what that multiplier effect works in reverse. Right. Now they got to hold back $2 million worth of reserves, and it's not worth it to them. Mm. They have so many other loans that they can do that are normal conventional loans. They just say, why take the risk? And that's why they'll say no. So a lot of people get frustrated with their banks to say, you know, why isn't the bank making this loan that appears conservative? That's the reason.
Right. When we went to have earlier in our Pacific Private Money career, we applied for a line of credit, and the bank came in and looked at our loan portfolio, and they ended up turning us down, even though they seemed really bullish at the time. And one of the things I remember them saying a lot was, well, we believe you've got, you know, unaccrued losses. What do you mean by that? Well, we believe that some of these loans, you know, are going to go bad, you know, based on the track record of their payment. Well, you know, hard money loans by their nature, they sporadic payments. Some guys come in every 3 months. Anyway, long story short, I understand what they're saying. When, you know, if we were a bank and they were an auditor coming in, they would say, well, you're going to have to increase your reserves because there's a whole pool of loans over here that are acting funny where we don't like what we see and we want you to increase your reserves.
And here's the funny thing is that in reality, You almost like those people who don't pay on time because you accrue late fees. And if it's non-owner occupied loans, then you also get default interest. So, you know, usually it's very rare that you go the full gambit where you take over the property.
And the bottom line is, I mean, you know, we've made the right decisions because we've had zero losses.
Exactly. The proof is in the pudding on that.
Well, at the end of the day, for the borrower, for the consumer, if you can get bank financing, always get bank financing. Right. If you can get any kind of conventional, even non-prime, as they call, you know, it's not called subprime anymore. It's called non-prime. I guess subprime's a dirty word. Even non-prime financing is less expensive than private or hard money. But and we don't, you know, we don't purport to be, you know, the low-cost leader. We're generally double the cost of bank financing, but we don't operate under the same restrictions, and we don't have the same kind of audit issues. So we can make loans based on anticipated future income. We can look at other things in the file in order to make a decision as to whether we think this loan is a safe loan to make for our investors or not.
It's a CS loan. What? It's a common sense loan.
Right, exactly. So bottom line is that we're a plan B when plan A fails. Plan A should always be conventional financing, bank financing, which is now about 4.5%. Our loans are going to be 8.5% to 9.5%. But hey, we can close by Friday if need be.
The flexibility is key.
It's certainty of closure. That's what we deliver. We deliver certainty of closure, and that's why people pay us the big bucks.
That's right. And on the flip side, that's how you're able to pay your clients, investors in the fund, fund 7.5 to 8%.
We could not be paying, you know, in the high sevens if we were only charging 6. That would be reversal. We'd be running a Ponzi scheme here, and that would not be good.
All right. So we're going to ask one more trivia question. When we come back, Mark, you had a question about, you want to ask Brian specifically about title insurance.
Yeah, the less boring side of title insurance, why we need it and what it's good for. As a lender, I want to talk about why we require our borrowers to pay for a lender's policy of title insurance every time we do a loan.
And we will want to hear from Brian about lender's policies versus
an owner's policy.
Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. Now, this question you better get right because I know you like the movie. In the movie Shallow Hal,
yes.
What real-life person hypnotizes Hal into seeing people as their inner beauty? I had to throw a softball question
finally,
out
one that I know.
Yeah. Oh, everybody knows this one. All right. Call 888-912-1190 to answer this question. In the movie Shallow Hal, what real-life person hypnotizes Hal into seeing people as their inner beauty?
We'll right. Rochambeau to answer that question.
That's right. Okay. Let's see. We've got about 30 seconds. I should have waited on that for a little bit. So, again, when we come back, you're going to talk about lender's policies versus owner's policies
Absolutely.
For title insurance.
What's your contact information?
415-485-2200. I'm right in San Rafael over at 790 Mission. 415-485-2200.
All right. Don't touch that dial. The Best of Investing. We're going to be right back.
For more information on today's topic, call Edward Brown directly at 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. The Best of Investing will continue in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now, back to the Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown, on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to the Best of Investing. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Hanf and Nam Phan, and our special guest, Brian Kraft. Third trivia question. In the movie Shallow Hal, what real-life person hypnotizes Hal into seeing people as their inner beauty? Mark.
Wow, you've got a really big head, says right. George. Who,
but who's the? What's the answer?
Tony Robbins.
No, it's the Moops, you idiot.
Oh, no.
The Moops.
I'm sorry. For those people out there,
we're
cracking each other up about the Seinfeld episode with George
Stinn
and the Bubble Boy. The Moops, you idiot. Okay, Mark, you wanted to ask Brian about specifically.
I did. Well, you know, we were talking a little bit about title insurance earlier, and there's two types of title insurance when you buy a home. One is if you use financing, almost invariably the lender is going to require you to pay for a lender's policy of title insurance. And then there's additional insurance that you would want to buy, which is an owner's policy of title insurance. And the reason why, as a lender, we require a lender's policy of title insurance is because what that provides for us, the lender, are a number of guarantees, including some pretty obvious ones, such as the person who's showing up to sign our loan documents actually is the person who's signing, whose name is on the promissory note and deed of trust, that they have the right to take out a loan on this property, that the address actually matches the actual property we think we're lending on, and just, you know, and on like that. In other words, we're relying on the title company who's saying, we're going to issue you an insurance policy that says you actually have a first position lien on that property. It's valid. It's enforceable. You can foreclose on it if they don't pay, all of those protections. So that's why. And oftentimes borrowers go, why am I paying for this? I didn't agree to pay for this. I agreed to pay you, you know, 2 points and 9% and some documentation fees, but no one said anything.
You have to make sure that they really do.
But I have hazard insurance on my property, you know, but right. No, that's not quite. We need insurance to ensure that you actually have the right to borrow this money. And we have an enforceability option to you know, foreclose on this property.
You know how you can make it really easy? Say, do you ever see Raiders of the Lost Ark? Throw me the whip, I'll throw you the idol. That's kind of really what it is.
Validity of loan and lien priority.
Yes.
That's what's insured with a loan.
Yeah. Now, there are some endorsements sometimes we'll ask for that, you know, if it's a condominium, there's some additional protections we typically look for. If it's a construction loan, we might ask for certain endorsements like, you know, that it's free of mechanics liens. But these are all things that protect the lender. Now, you would still want to have a... It's not called a, it's called an owner's policy of title insurance, right, Brian?
Correct. Owner's policy versus lender's policy. They just insure slightly different things.
And so, why does a buyer of real estate want to pay that, you know, relatively nominal fee for a title insurance policy as an owner?
Because it protects you against unknown third party claims to a potential interest in your property, whether that's from an outside lender claiming a lien against your property, despite the fact that the deed of trust was not recorded in the local county, or if it's a neighbor that is claiming an interest in your backyard based upon the existing location of the fence line. They're claiming a right to use your property, and that is something that you're insured against.
And what happens in the case? What does the insurance company do? Do they write you a check for a certain amount, or do they fight on your behalf?
It really depends. And title insurance policies actually give the title insurer a lot of leeway and options in order to decide how they want to deal with a particular claim. One of the options is that they could, in fact, pay you out. They would go get an appraiser to go on out to the property, and that appraiser would appraise the property with the encroachment versus without the encroachment. And the difference between the two is called diminution in value, the drop in the value of the property, and they could write you a check for the difference and that diminution, and then you've effectively been made whole, because that's the title insurer's responsibility to make you whole, deliver title as insured.
And I want to ask you a question. What's the difference between a CLTA policy and an ALTA policy?
Drafted by different organizations, and some title insurers issue different types of policies.
But is there an advantage of one, or one more encompassing than another?
No, it depends on your situation, as every good lawyer will tell you. Sorry about that.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, we've had a number of situations crop up, and one that's actually that we've been aware of more than once where someone buys a property and he believes he's purchasing it free and clear of all liens. Then all of a sudden this lender comes along who says, our loan was never paid off on this property, and it's, you know, and for whatever reason the title company either didn't pick it up or it's truly not valid, but they're still making the claim legally.
The big example there are lines of credit. So I'm a homeowner. Mm-hmm. I take out a line of credit. I pay it off at some point in time, but that deed of trust does not get reconveyed. Mm-hmm. I sell, and because the line of credit's still open, I go ahead and, as a nefarious actor, I draw down against it. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, the holder of the line of credit, the beneficiary of that deed of trust, comes back and tries to foreclose. But of course, the homeowner is now no longer the borrower.
Right.
And they'll start a foreclosure proceeding, record a notice of default, and then that notice of default should be tendered by the homeowner to his or her title insurer.
Doesn't the bank, though, usually get notified that someone is trying to refinance or sell the house?
In a perfect world.
Yes, in a perfect world. Exactly. There's an instruction from the escrow holder to the lender that says, hey, not only are we paying you off, but we want you to close this line of credit and reconvey the deed of trust.
There's just lots of examples buying real estate, it's going to be the largest purchase you ever make. And you might make multiple purchases of real estate in your lifetime. And buying it on a handshake and an unrecorded or uninsured deed would be probably the biggest gamble you might ever take.
Right.
Bigger gamble than Bitcoin.
Not a wise thing to do. You know, and as an owner of Bitcoin, I would say that is true.
You're talking about additional coverage.
So, you know, different title insurers offer different products, different levels of coverage. Mm-hmm. I always encourage my clients to spend the additional cash, the additional money on the premium up front to get as much coverage as they will offer. You never know. It's a one-time premium.
Right, it's a one-time
premium. It's not like an auto policy. You don't pay it on a month-to-month basis, and your coverage is as good for however long you own your home.
Right, and if you're buying $1 million property in the Bay Area, you're paying more than $1 million. We all know that. If you bought property, you know you're going to pay. If you're using financing, there'll be some financing fees. There'll be some documentation fees. There'll be an escrow fee in closing costs. And then there's your title insurance. So you buy a $1 million house, you pay, you know, $1,010,000, $1,015,000, you know, it might cost you $10,000 to $20,000 at more, but it's all worth it in the end. I mean, insurance is there to protect you, and even though we've all heard horror stories of, you know, some title insurance companies that maybe they're not so good at paying claims. At the end of the day, you know, you will get what you paid for, and you want to buy, you want to use title insurance when you buy real estate.
So if somebody's owned a home for 5 years, can they go and get this additional coverage, or is it too late? You have to buy it at the time you're purchasing.
No, you need to generally purchase. You get the coverage at the time that you purchase, yeah. Right? Because that's the analysis that they do. The title insurance company does. They run a preliminary title report by searching the chain of title to that particular property in their plant system, and they issue a preliminary title report that shows you generally what is recorded against your property. And that preliminary title report is an offer to provide you insurance, given the exceptions and exclusions included there within the preliminary title report.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we're going to cut to another commercial break. When we come back, we have an email question for Mark that has to do with what can a person do if they're unaccredited, but they like what you have to offer with loans, you know, investing in loans.
Mortgage investing for the unaccredited investor is possible.
Okay. So we're going to find out about that. And of course, Brian being the attorney, you know, what's 2 plus 2? And he goes, well, somewhere between 3 and 5, but I won't narrow it down until I have all the facts.
Correct.
Right?
That's correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
What do you
that.
Want it to be?
Yeah. No, that's what the accountant says.
That's a good answer.
And the appeals officer says 4, but I'll settle for 3.
Yeah.
Okay. So no trivia question. We already asked our 3 trivia questions, and you did get 1 out of 3, Mark.
I did.
Very good.
Yeah, even though Hershey's Kisses, I still think Hershey's Kisses is their best-selling product by unit.
By unit. Well, okay. Listen, you did 1 out of 3. That's, mm-hmm. That would get you in the Hall of Fame. All right. Don't touch that dial. The Best of Investing will be right back.
You're listening to The Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown. For more information, visit bestofinvesting.com. That's bestofinvesting.com. More in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
Hi, listeners. This is Edward Brown, your host. I had a 40-year-old listener sign up for a $500,000 life insurance policy guaranteed not to increase for the next 35 years at a cost of only $51 per month. Holy smokes, that's less than $2 per day guaranteed for 35 years. Imagine, this is probably the last life insurance policy this listener will ever need to buy because the premium is fixed for the next 35 years and it is from a well-known, highly rated company. For your free quote, call our toll-free number, 888-912-1190, and make sure to leave your name and ask for a free quote. I'll get right back to you. Hurry, as I suspect these rates will not last long. Again, call 888-912-1190 and ask you for your free life insurance quote.
You're listening to The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW. Once again, your host, Edward Brown.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Hanf and Nam Phan of Pacific Private Money, and our special guest, Brian Kraft. So, Mark, an email comes in and says, what can I do if I am not an accredited investor, but I want to participate in deeds of trust?
So we offer two types of what we call mortgage investing at Pacific Private Money. One is the Pacific Private Money Fund, which is a mortgage pool fund. It's a private placement that we talk about a lot on this show. But due to the type of syndication that we've done to create this fund, we're only allowed to take investments from people who qualify as accredited. And the definition of accredited, you probably heard us talk about it before, it's a $1 million net worth, not including the equity in your home, or you make $200,000 as a single person or $300,000 as a married couple. That's the qualification threshold that defines an accredited investor. Now, there are a lot of people who come to us, and the vast majority of their net worth is in their home. They maybe have little or no mortgage on a multi-million dollar piece of property, but they don't have $1 million in other assets. Can they invest in mortgage-backed investments? And the answer is you can. There are individual notes that we offer to our investors, and you can find those individual notes that we currently are offering to the investment public on our website called privatemoneyloans.com. privatemoneyloans.com. That's privatemoneyloans.com. That's a new initiative we started, a new platform that is a very popular, based on a very popular engine for raising capital in the private space. And so we've been putting our notes on there, and it's been growing. We've got about 150 people on there right now. We're looking to get that number up to 500, because that seems to be the sweet spot for moving the kind of volume that we want to move across there. And so again, privatemoneyloans.com, where you can invest in individual notes, either whole notes or fractional notes. Fractional note is, let's say we're offering a note for sale that's a $500,000 note and you want to invest $100,000. You can bid $100,000 for that note. Now there's an FAQ on the site to tell you all about how it works. So we don't have enough time remaining in the show to get into a whole lot of detail about that, but go to privatemoneyloans.com to find out more about the individual notes that we offer, either whole notes or fractional notes. And if you're interested in our fund, just go to our website, which is pacificprivatemoney.com, and learn more about the Pacific Private Money Fund. We're always adding more information to our website. In fact, it's going through another enhancement right now. So keep coming back for more information, videos, tear sheets, and other information about the Pacific Private Money Fund.
And the privatemoneyloans.com, people can register with no obligation, no fee.
Right. Correct. Yeah, you do need to register, because we're putting up information that is, you know, it's I want to say semi-private. I mean, we don't broadcast to everybody the types of loans we're selling. We want you to register. We want to know who is on our site. We don't like lurkers. We'd rather have investors.
That's right.
And so the site isn't for our competition or for people who, you know, are looking for information on property owners who may be looking for capital. That's not the goal. The goal is it to be a legitimate marketplace for people who legitimately want to invest in notes. And so you do need to register. We do need to approve you, but there is not a qualification process in that regard. So again, privatemoneyloans.com to learn more about investing in individual California deeds of trust, either whole notes or fractional. Again, when we say whole notes, meaning you can buy the whole note if you want, but you don't have to. Now, there is one caveat. Let's say you go in there and there's a $500,000 note and you're interested in $100,000. You may pledge $100,000, and the guy comes along a day later and says, "I want that whole note." Oftentimes, we will bump a fractional investor for someone who does want the whole note. So it's still not a perfect way to buy notes fractionally or whole. But for more information, go to our FAQs, and you could read about the process.
Very good. Brian Kreft, thank you for joining us.
Thanks
on the
so
Best
much for
Investing.
Having me again, guys.
All right. Thoughts for the day. The greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. Mm. And if you feel like doing some work, sit down and wait. The feeling goes away. Don't tell that to your employees. All right. Tune in next week to The Best of Investing. We're going to be giving away more free prizes for answering trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm Edward Brown. We're wishing you the best of investing. So long.
You've been listening to The Best of Investing with Edward Brown. For more information on this program, call 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. Or visit bestofinvesting.com. And join us again next week for The Best of Investing on the Bay Area's Business Leader, AM 1220 KDLW.
This radio broadcast is in no way an offer to sell securities except where applicable in states where we are registered or where an exemption or exclusion from such registration exists. Information discussed during this broadcast, whether stock quotes, charts, articles, or any other statement or statements regarding market or other financial information, is obtained from sources which we believe are reliable, but we do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. Nothing in this broadcast should be interpreted to state or imply that past results are an indication of future performance. There are no warranties expressed or implied as to accuracy, completeness, or results obtained from this broadcast.